Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence and You here at WCWP.org. I'm Rebecca Miller, your guest host for today, along with Otto Loos, who has been the co-host for Project Independence and You pretty steadily since March. Is that right, yeah. Otto?
I would say so, yeah. I started in the beginning, but March, COVID came.
COVID came and
it's now a weekly affair.
We locked you in.
And that's it. I like it. I'm having a good time. Get to talk to people like Terry, and it's great.
Yes, it's wonderful. And of course, Christina Liu, the radio show producer, Project Independence and You. And we've been talking with the Honorable Teresa Corrigan, who is the supervising judge of the county court and acting Supreme Court justice. So you've given us a wealth of information on all the precautions and how you're keeping everybody safe in the court system. It's just so multi-leveled and just an incredible task, you know, an undertaking to, you know, both protect everybody and also be able to take care of the law as well. So we're really grateful for this information. And, you know, we're kind of interested a little bit in you too. I know Otto was very interested in hearing about some things.
Well, yeah, actually, did you just wake up when you were born and say, I want to be in law? What led you down that path going back?
So I was always known as a talkative child. And even through grammar school and high school, I was always speaking up for the person that I saw that I thought might have been getting a raw deal or was too afraid to speak up for themselves. So I had always had a speaking desire. And then when I went to college, and if anyone had heard my speech when I was inducted as a judge, that they will have known this, so I'm not saying anything that isn't already out there. But when I went to college and met up with a great group of new friends, sometimes people do stupid things in college, and a few of my friends landed in front of a couple of judges there up in Albany County. And I went to court to sort of help them out and make sure they could get home in the morning. And I watched this wonderful judge in Albany County just show amazing compassion towards foolish college students. And I watched the prosecutor and the defense do their job. And I knew by the time I got to college, I was going to be a lawyer. And I knew at that moment it was going to be a criminal lawyer because I wanted to be one of those people in the room. And initially, I just wanted to be the prosecutor. So when I went to law school, I knew that criminal law was going to be my expertise or my forte. And I ended up going straight from law school to the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office way back when in 1989. And I was there for almost 16 and a half years before I moved out to Nassau County and then became a district attorney assistant district attorney under Kathleen Rice. She was the district attorney at that point. And I did that for about 6 years. And then I was lucky enough to be considered for a judgeship, which Otto's daughter did run my campaign. We were two complete novices, not having a clue, but there we were knocking on doors throughout Nassau County. And I was fortunate enough to have the voters of Nassau County vote for me. And back in 2013, in January, I was sworn in to be a county court criminal judge.
You know, it's funny. I look back and I realize you and my daughter are now getting older. You're in your 50s now.
We are.
All of a sudden you have a lot of experience and you know, like Bernadette became a doctor not long ago. So I'm looking, I'm thinking, oh my God, these people are getting old. I said, what?
We're catching up.
But we still look good, right?
Yes. You know, I have a question that's a little off the track here. It has to do with face masks. You said that people, when they're in a trial, cannot have a face mask. How does that work? And I'm not knocking any religion when I bring this up, but some religions you know, they, you have to have a face mask. Basically, your face is covered. How do, are they forced to uncover their face, or how does that work?
So if they come in as a potential juror, it is possible under the law that they can be excused from jury service because their religious beliefs prevent them from being able to follow some of the laws here that are in place. One of them being, we need to see your face if you're going to be considered as a juror. Right. So we haven't had that situation yet, I have to say. We have had people be completely cooperative with the understanding that we just need to see your face while you're being questioned about whether or not you can be a juror. Once you're picked, that's no problem. If your religion requires your face to be covered, your face can be covered. It's just to see you, to determine your credibility while you're being questioned by the attorneys or while you're being questioned by the judge. Now, if you're the accused or a witness to the accused, we have to really work with you as closely as we can to protect and respect your religious rights. We have to see your face to determine credibility in these cases. So it's a difficult balance. Hmm. We work it out. We do work it out, but it is a difficult balance.
It's good. Interesting.
It is very interesting.
Yeah.
Every avenue you have to have covered in some way. I mean, do things still come up that you're like, oh, we've never experienced this before, or this is a, you know, anything come to mind that was kind of like out of the unusual? I don't know where there's no precedence for it.
Every day I feel like we have something come up that we're like, oh, we didn't think that through, or, oh, that's a new twist. It could be almost anything. A big thing, some people with face shields and face masks, there are people that have doctor excuses to not be covered. We can't let you in the courthouse, but the courthouse is open to the public. How do we go about doing that? It's very difficult. So in that situation, we'll give you a face shield because you're not going to, so at least there's some protection. And what we've had to do is sort of clear the path, right? Make sure there's really nobody.
Right, right.
More than, we go more than 6 feet, right? Sort of clear the path to help this person. Or if it's somebody, we can stop at the front door and say, maybe we can help you virtually. You know, give us the information. Go ahead, go home. Don't come in because you can't wear a face mask and we're not going to force you to, but you can't come in without one. We'll give us your number, give us your information. We'll help you virtually. We come up with whatever unique solution.
Right.
We can find, but there's something every day. In the beginning, there was something every minute.
Right.
That we didn't think of.
Could you describe?
So this is kind of out of left field.
Is there such a thing as what's your typical day?
My typical day. So my typical day is a little different because I'm the supervising judge from the regular judge's typical day. So for me, my typical day is when I get here at 9 o'clock, I make sure nothing changed overnight, because in March, April, and May, literally things were changing overnight and my directives were changing overnight just to keep on top of the illness. So the first thing I do is I check all the state websites to make sure there's no new orders from the governor. There's nothing from Chief Judge DeFiore. I speak with my supervisor, a wonderful, wonderful man, the administrative judge of Nassau County. His name is Norman St. George, the Honorable Norman St. George. He's wonderful. I check with him every morning just to make sure things are, nothing new has come in overnight. And then what I need to do is I make sure all of the judges have all of their equipment, that everything's running correctly, that all the courtrooms are running correctly, whether it's a virtual courtroom or what we call a live courtroom, although now that's being shut down again, but the virtual courtrooms are running. And then my job is to make sure all of those really old cases that are clogged up in the system that can't be getting resolved at this time. It's my job to make sure I speak to the defense attorney, the prosecution, and those accused, those defendants, to keep them apprised of where we're at with their cases being resolved. I try to work out a disposition if I can work out a disposition. I try to make sure that everyone understands why they're stuck in the position they're stuck in. So I'm in charge of all of what we call the really old cases that are in the system. And then by the afternoon, I'm always in touch with all of my judges to make sure they know what's going on. I'm troubleshooting every complaint that there is, along with my chief clerk, Donald Vetter, who's phenomenal at keeping this place working and running well. So my day, it really varies. I'm administrative, but I also get to do the legal stuff with all of the old cases. So I have a very varied day where my judges, their day is their cases. They're working through their cases virtually on a regular basis.
Is that every day that they have cases, judges do?
All of my judges are in every day, and every day they have what we call a calendar of cases, so a listing of cases that are on, and every day they are virtually conferencing those cases. If they work out a plea of guilty with the attorneys and the accused, they'll take that plea of guilty. If somebody's already pled guilty and needs to be sentenced, they'll be sentenced. So they are working every day on their cases. No case is just sitting there with no one touching it. Every case is being worked on every day.
Okay.
Kind of a question out of left field. Oh, if I might. Otto, you have another question?
No, go ahead. Your turn.
I was just going to say, when we were talking about kind of the unusual things that are happening in court and every day, a lot of people have supportive pets. They have to bring a pet on an airplane. They have pets that help them, seeing eye dogs, things like that. What are the rules in court?
All right. So interestingly, one of my judges has a pet, has a diabetes dog. One of my judges is a very severe diabetic, type 1 diabetic, and he has his dog, beautiful, beautiful. I think it's a golden doodle named Barney. Barney is with that judge every day. Barney sits under the bench when that judge is on trial. Barney goes everywhere with that judge. The court does not tell service animals that they're not allowed in. Service animals are allowed into the courthouse as long as it's a legitimate service animal. What we don't allow is the person who walks up to the front door with their small, like, pocketbook dog, and they say, "I have anxiety and this dog helps me." We have to draw the line somewhere. If your dog doesn't come almost with like a prescription, that's not the right word for it, but if your dog doesn't come like a truly authorized medically for you, then we can't let the animal in. But otherwise, service animals are allowed in like everybody else.
Interesting.
Okay. Back in your past, you were very involved with gangs. And gangs on Long Island, everybody knows there's one big gang that creates some havoc. Does that calm down at all during COVID, or does it get worse? Like, do you see cases coming in related to the gangs? Because I would think they get to criminal court for the most part. What's the action like as far as that goes right now?
Surprisingly, I will say during March, April, and even a good part of May, violent crime was pretty low in Nassau County. We didn't see a lot of violent crime, and arrests were down in Nassau County. I don't know if a study was done to determine if that's because people were home or for some other reason. I will say, I think with no surprise to anybody, domestic violence rose during the COVID lockdown. I think that's pretty obvious as to why that would occur. But the gangs kind of took a break. It was a nice breath of fresh air. So we did have a few months of reduced, it never goes away, but we had a few months of reduced violent criminal activity during COVID. Again, I can't tell you why. I didn't really do the study to know if that's because the cops were so busy with everything else they weren't making those arrests, or whether those people were hunkered down themselves and not going out and about. I don't know.
But doesn't seem like a lot of good things are coming out of COVID, though maybe there are. Maybe, you know, you had this little break. But we're going to take a break, and we will be back for the final hour with Judge Corrigan. We're so pleased that you're here. We will be right back.